Hello there, welcome to Back on the Ball with me, David Fitzgerald, Dean Edwards and Colin Lee, who can't be with us at this precise moment. I will explain a little later in the podcast where he's been. My thanks to Greenwood Accountancy and Wallen Solicitors for sponsoring this incredible look back at the world of football from yesteryear. So where are we today? Well, in a moment, we're going to be in a service station on the M5, M4. I had no idea where I was, but Dean Edwards is in front of me at the moment. I was going back to Chelsea with Colin. Have you been back to Molineux?
I have been back to Molineux. I go back quite a few times now because one of the lads who runs the museum is Peter Crump.
And can we explain that in the background we got my cat as well? Pablo, go and sit in your box. Pablo is named after the old Ipswich player, Pablo Canago, who was a brilliant player. But when he came down to Argyle and used to run past us, there was a group called the Ivy Bridge Massif behind me. They always shouted, Pablo, trying to put him off. Anyway, we'll leave that in. You were telling us.
Yeah, Molineux. I go back because one of the lads who's just took up a post on the museum there is a lad called Peter Crump, and he's the historian of Wolverhampton. He's a young lad, but his knowledge on the club is fantastic. And, you know, I've been a supporter there since I was 5 years old, but I've been there, looked through the museum, and some of the history there that he told me about was unbelievable. I didn't realise the walls were called the Dirty Pinks at one stage.
Really?
And the reason for that was because in, I think, 1908 or around that time, they'd gone to a match up at Newcastle or somewhere up that area, and they used to play in their shirts, you know, their proper dress shirts. And when they came back, before they'd gone, whoever washed the kit had obviously left something red in there and turned the shirts pink. So they had to play in the pink shirts. It's unbelievable. And they've still got one of those shirts in the museum, and it's fantastic. Anybody who's never been to the Wolves Museum needs to go.
How old is Wolves? What year were they founded?
I believe around 1881, 89, something like that. I'm not 100% sure. I should know these.
Yeah, because you must be one of the oldest clubs. In fact, wasn't it? The Midlands, Liverpool, yeah. Everton's ancient as well.
Yeah.
Nottingham Forest or County, one of the oldest?
Notts County. They got the striped strips, weren't they? And I think the oldest Italian side was Juventus. And I think they copied their kit or borrowed their kit. That's why they played in it.
Where are you? Wolves. Hang on, we're just looking up Wolves. 1877. That's incredible.
1877. Dear me. I think they had Oliver Cromwell playing from then, didn't they? Oh, yeah, it's a long time ago. But, yeah, they were one of the founder members of the league. And, obviously, they've got great history, especially around the 60s.
So when you go back, rather like we'll hear in a moment, Colin, going back to Chelsea and sitting down in what was 1, 2, 3 tiers of football stands, he said, well, none of that was there when I played, and there was a shed at one end as well. What's changed with Wolves?
Oof. Well, when I played for them, the Batty brothers had just taken over. What happens with football clubs a lot of the time, they end up having new stands built. Mm. And as soon as they get them built, they go into some kind of spiral. It's happened to a lot of clubs. Wolves had a brand new stand, one of the biggest in the country, built in around 1978. The John Ireland stand, which is now the Steve Ball stand. And then the club, when I played for them, we were sort of in free fall, really. We went from the old second division to the fourth division, and there was no stopping it because of the funds.
But there goes any football club.
Yeah.
I think, how many grounds have vanished under a supermarket?
Well, I think I mentioned last week when I went to watch Kevin Keegan, and he was mentioning that he's played at all supermarkets, Aldi. I'm not going to mention them all, but. And even when I played for Wolves in the old third division, old fourth division, you know, we're still part of that history, and it doesn't matter whether you're having a good time or a bad time, it's still keeping the place alive, and I think we did it okay.
I did send you that fantastic quote about Sir Jack Hayward. Did you ever meet Sir Jack?
I didn't actually meet Sir Jack. I left just before he came. I think he came in just like mid-90s. I didn't actually meet him, but he's really well thought of in Wolverhampton. I mean, he's put the club back on the map.
I just love this. It's a newspaper which has apologised because in our interview with Sir Jack Hayward, the chairman of Wolverhampton Wanderers, yesterday we mistakenly attributed him to the following comment. Our team was the worst in the First Division and I'm sure it's the worst in the Premier League. Sir Jack had just declined the offer of a hot drink and what he actually said was our tea was the worst in the First Division. It's the Black Country accent.
It's the Black Country accent. It's an accent that it's really difficult to shake off. I mean, I've been in the South West for probably two-thirds of my life. No, probably half my life. And, I can't shake the accent off. But I'm proud of it, you know. Yeah. But if you go deeper into the Black Country, you know, your Tiptons and your Dudleys and all them places, like your Lenny Henry country, like, then it gets deeper and deeper. And even I struggle to understand some of them. I've got to be honest.
Yeah, because let's not get too insulting here. Birmingham, Wolverhampton, two different accents. One's Black Country, one's not.
Oh, for sure. If you really want to rub a Wolverhampton person up the wrong way, and then you've got to, wherever we go in the world and a Black Country person is in an holiday resort, they'll say, oh, you're a Brummie. And we're definitely not.
No. No, it's rather like Newcastle and Sunderland.
Exactly.
Don't do it.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it come to a stage where I just say, yeah, I'm a Brummie. Because I couldn't be bothered trying to explain. You know, I thought, if you're not, intelligent enough to know the difference, then I'm not going to bother explaining it. But
I must admit, years ago, we were on the touchline at Argyle, as the pitch announcer, down came one of our players who said something to me and said something to the fourth official. And he just looked at me and said, God, what is it about Argyle? You employ so many French and Hungarians. Looked at him and said, he's from Liverpool. it was noon. Yeah, he was a Scouser, yeah. One and truly.
Yeah. Well, I know they had the great, like my ex-strike partner, Tommy Tynan, he was a Scouser, but he didn't have that real broad Scouse accent because he'd been away from there for quite a long time. Steve Ball, for instance, I mean, he was born in Tipton, right in the heart of the Black Country, and he's a proper icon up at Wolves, and he's literally one of them. He's literally a Wolves fan and a Wolves person. I was actually raised about a goal kick from the Molyneux. So I'm probably one of the top three players who've played for Wolves that was born close to Molyneux.
Right. Just take a break because we need to join Colin Lee in a wonderful exotic venue. Colin, where the hell are we?
Well, we're in Lee Delamere services on our way to Chelsea versus Burnley today. We're with the supporters, as you know. They go to every single game. It's organised by Roger Mann, who's the chairman of the South West Chelsea Supporters Group. It's great, really, because you can get on the coach. You're well looked after. They drop you off right outside Stamford Bridge. We go in, see the game, and come back out, and the bus is waiting for you to take you back to Newton Abbot. So it's brilliant, you know, and you meet the supporters. And I was saying to yourself on the way up, Fitz, that, you know, when you're playing, you don't realise the dedication of the supporters, really. And I've done this a couple of times now, and it really hits home to you how these people are just fanatics, you know, and spend a lot of their cash on supporting Chelsea Football Club, travelling with them and following them all over the country, all over the world. And as I say, as a player, it would be good to bring a few players here and say, well, these are the people that you should really appreciate, if you like, because their support is fantastic. Roger, who I've known for quite a long time, Roger Mann, who's always supported anything that I've done, especially around Chelsea. We did a lot of things for charity when I was involved at the centre that I created down in Devon. He's the chairman of the South West Supporters Group. And he's responsible for what you're seeing today.
How many trips a year do you think?
Oh, gosh. Well, we have 19 home games, which are the league games, plus cup games, and normally European games. But unfortunately, this year, we haven't got any Europe because we never qualified. But we've been Wembley, and we've got another Wembley trip coming up for the semi-final, probably about 25, 30. We don't go every away game, but we go a lot. I'm going to Sheffield United next Sunday, Man United on Thursday at home, and today's game. So three in a week. It's
That gets expensive. So that's we're talking money.
We're talking a bit of money. Yeah, you could have a few bob, but we're lucky. We got over 250 members of our branch in the Southwest, and we fill a coach up for all the games we go to. So you don't have to go every. Like we got father and sons here. You might only come one or two times a season. And then when my girls were young, I used to bring them along to the football, and they loved it. You know, day out with Dad, and but it's not cheap. It's not cheap for football, I must admit. Yeah.
Hello, Tessa.
Hello, David.
Got a mouthful of bun.
I have got a mouthful of bun. Sorry about that. Just having my last mouthful. Yes.
Why? Why Chelsea?
Peter Osgood, basically.
That takes me back a bit.
Exactly. I saw Peter Osgood, and I fell in love, and that was it. Chelsea from then on.
Just when I think of other team members of that time.
Oh, Johnny Hollins, David Webb, Charlie Cook, Creedy, Houseman, all of them. Chopper Harris, of course.
Chopper Harris, who we might run into today. I've only ever seen him once. It was at a golf match. He drove off and it actually hurt my ears as this ball went, you know, Chopper.
He attends all the home games. He works, I think, with Gary Chivers, actually, in the corporate areas over the far side from where we'll be sitting today. So, yeah, he's there every single game, as far as I'm aware.
Okay.
He was just finishing his career, played in a few games. I played with him in a few games right at the back end of his career. And I'll always remember coming into the changing room, and I can see him, because he suffered with, I believe it was arthritis in his feet, and or it might have been gout, but I'm pretty sure it was arthritis. And rather than give up, and we know his reputation, we know he's a tough guy, and I can remember, and this is no word of a lie, seeing him with a tube of deep heat rubbing into his feet just to go and play a game of football. And as I say, it was the back end of his career, still as hard as now, still wanting to play, and thankfully the deep heat helped him through it. So it was good to see him. Yeah.
Well, let's hope we run into him today. Thank you. Well, we're going to get back on the coach in a minute. And a couple of hours later, we pulled up outside Stamford Bridge, a blissfully simple journey. Wow, what a stadium. Never seen anything like it. We stepped out into the thousands of fans, and the first two people we walked into was Ron Chopper Harris being guided through the crowds by Gary Chivers.
And it's great seeing Colin. Well, really good seeing Colin, I have to say that.
Ron, I've got to say, the last time I saw you, you drove a golf ball very nearly out of the county you started in.
It couldn't have gone straight. It must have gone right or left. No, what happened is when I retired from the football, we bought a golf club down at Shrivenham,
yeah,
the other side of Swindon. And we had it for a few years and we enjoyed it. And, you know, somebody come in and made us an offer that I thought was too good to turn down. And I've been back here ever since, doing the hospitality, which I think is a fantastic club. I work with, you know, 6 ex-players, 7 ex-players. I think it's a tremendous club.
And it was your entire playing career?
Yeah.
When I retired, well, say retired, I spent 3 years at Brentford as a player coach and played maybe 20-odd games, only if people were injured. But it's a different kettle of fish when you, no disrespect, when you're travelling first class, staying hotels overnight and that, instead of travelling early in the morning.
Yeah,
you know, it's a big difference, but you know, I'm sure things have changed. It, but no, they were good. Brentford, I enjoyed it there.
But the game treated you well.
Yeah, I can't complain. I've been working, well, I say working, doing the hospitality and certain things. Nice group of lads, ex-players here, and
you
know.
Does that include me, Ron?
Yeah, who is this kindly old gentleman beside you?
Does that include me, being a nice lad? Jesus Christ, no, that's the first time.
I think they're a superb club, and we work with, what, 7 other lads, Chivs?
Yeah.
And a good bunch of lads, and a fantastic club.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, look, thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. And this man who keeps following you around, who is he?
Well, I looked after him for, what, 10 years, playing-wise. And to be truthful, the work that I used to do, I think I could have still been playing. the mistakes he used to make, but there we are, we got on all right. So, but we had a terrific understanding, like, because Chivs was a central defender like me, and he used to chip the forwards to me, and I used to volley them back to him. So we had a good understanding.
That sums up your career nicely, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Chivers? Yeah. I mean, I love playing for Chelsea. It was my club I supported as a boy.
Yeah.
From the age of 6 and 7, came down here when I was 10 years of age, loved playing for them, but they've always had me back in some sort of capacity, whether it's training the kids or doing the youth team, and then obviously doing the corporate. It's brilliant, it's gone full circle. But my relationship with the club probably goes on for 50 years, which is brilliant.
Can I just ask you a question? Because Colin Lee, the more I hear him, God, he was fast. He scored so many goals. He was brilliant.
Colin Lee.
Colin, remember him?
Colin Lee, I'll tell you what. If you stuck a ball at the far post,
yeah,
he'll get up and head it. He was brilliant, brilliant in the air. Brilliant in the air.
When we used to finish, like, training, we used to have to do sprints.
Yeah.
You used to get paired up, and I'd always try and get with him because I wasn't very quick, but he was slower than me.
And I have to say, yeah, and the biggest thing in Colin Lee's career, he came and scored, he scored a hat-trick against Newcastle, and the only goal they ever kept on showing was my one, wasn't it? didn't get a mention, did you? You did get a mention. Yeah,
but I actually covered that the other day, funny enough, because we played Newcastle the other day. Yeah. Someone said to me, you nearly got your hat trick a bit early. I said, yeah, but to be quite honest with you, Gary started that. Chief started it from the back. And if it was in the modern game, which they're playing now, you know, everything's played and through, it would have been played and played again because it was a fantastic goal. And yeah, we just talked about it the other day. It was brilliant. But
great memories.
But I got the hat trick in the end.
Yeah.
Because you kept yourself out of the way that bit.
Well deserved as well.
I talk about Ronnie. We're talking about Ronnie on the way up because I can remember when I first walked in the changing room. I think it might have been a game or it might have been just training. And all I could remember was Ronnie with a tube of deep heat rubbing into your feet. And I didn't know. Can you remember this?
Nah.
Listen, I can't remember what I was doing yesterday.
No, but I tell you what, it stuck in my mind because I think you were suffering with arthritis.
No, I used to suffer with the ankles. Like,
right.
They're still
swollen there, but, I don't think it made any difference. It's a bit of Aljapan, was it?
Well, it was the Aljapan or DP or something, and I can remember like the whole tube going into the feet, like, and out you go, you know? It wouldn't happen today.
And putting his feet in boiling hot water. You used to be absolutely boiling hot, didn't you, to get your ankles going.
Moving around,
That's a handy tip. I might use that myself.
No, I wouldn't use it. No, 100% don't use it. No. Stay away from it.
Yeah. Gentlemen, and you are, thank you so much for talking today.
Pleasure.
Colin, what an atmosphere. What is it like to be back at Chelsea?
It's fantastic. I mean, when you see what they've actually built here over the years and the facilities that's on offer, it's just a sensational place to come. And even now I'm getting sort of tingles down my spine because, you know, you look at the pitch, you look at the atmosphere, you look at the unbelievable support. And I think even with my false hips and everything else, I think I could go out there and play now.
What was here when you were here? We're looking at 1, 2, 3 levels of seating. I'm guessing none of that was here.
No, I mean, we had one stand, which was built just before I came here. The rest of it really has now evolved into a sensational stadium. We had the shed end, which is now obviously a seating area. And we were so far, or the fans were so far away from us, apart from in one area where the new stand was. But now, as you can see for yourself, it's what a fantastic place to play football.
That's the kickoff. You've met some of your old teammates, your old friends today. Some emotional reunions today as well.
Yeah, I mean, every time I come here, you know, it's just like yesterday, really. I mean, it's as if we've never been apart for the years, if you like. And everyone appreciates, I think, the time that we were here. The guys who are working in the corporate areas, they always make you so welcome. And it's just like you talk as if it was yesterday, you know, and that's how close we were, and that's why we were successful. In the period that I was here, we went through a very, very difficult period and nearly got relegated down to a lower league. But as I say, it's a family that we were involved in, and hopefully we can, or this particular team now can evolve into a family that is successful, because the fans deserve it.
No, 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 no. That genuinely was a fantastic trip, and it was great to meet some of the Chelsea greats there, including Gary Chivers and, of course, Ron Chopper Harris as well. There were so many names there, so many faces. But the thing that really struck me was the building, the actual stadium at Stamford Bridge, which is, well, if you if you can hoof the ball over the stands, it bounces straight into somebody's garden. There is so little space there. You must have been.
I played against Chelsea. I didn't play at Stamford Bridge. It was the catalyst for me losing my contract at Shrewsbury, to be honest with you. We were due to play them at Stamford Bridge, and they had two massive centre-halves play for them, Mickey Droy and Steve Wicks. And I was probably about 10 stone dripping wet. These two lads were like monsters. They were like 6'5" and probably 16 stone, and Graham Turner decided that I wasn't going to be playing. And I went in and seen him in his office on the Friday, obviously sort of egged on by the lads. And I went into his office and said, look, I'm not happy about not playing. And he said, well, I don't think, you know, we'll need you tomorrow. He said, we'll be defending most of the time. So I said, well, I'm not happy. I want to transfer. So he said, come in and see me on the Monday. So they got battered 3-0. And I went in, not knowing, not reading the room or reading the game. And I said, I've come in to see you. He said, what do you want? I said, well, I've come to see about the, you know, you're not picking me on Saturday. And he says, so what do you want to do about it? I says, well, I'm going to hand in a transfer request. So he's opened his drawer, put the contract on the table. He went, rip it up. And I went, I don't think you could do that. And he went, well, you'll be playing in the reserves now for the next 6 months. And I was. So just as a message to all young green behind the ears, young players, just be careful what you're doing and be careful what you wish for. But yeah, I mean, Chelsea, I have been there as well to watch games. It was a ramshackle of a place back in the 70s and 80s with mad hooligan fans. That's what they were known for. Anybody who could kick the ball out of the ground in that place, you know, they'd be able to do it quite well because it had a running track round it. So I'm sure it had some kind of running track round it.
Somebody told me, one of the fans there said it was a dog track. Yeah. But I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it was a dog track. And there was a few clubs like that. I think Bristol Rovers had a dog track around their pitch as well. Yeah, I mean, how it's developed Chelsea over the last couple of decades has been unbelievable. But I've got to say, that journey that you and Colin made, I was absolutely in my element when you didn't ask me to come, because what time was you up before the birds?
I woke up naturally at 3:05 and waited for the alarm to go off at 5. I met Colin at 6 a.m. and I was thinking, what am I doing here? But and then we had to listen to, I think it was 26 miles of Chelsea songs. That'll be
Colin.
No, probably, yeah. Colin, go away. We'll phone you later. Now, it was a remarkable trip. As I say, 26 miles of Blue is the Colour. Is that the Chelsea song? I don't know what they're singing.
That's the 1970 FA Cup final song, that.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, I blanked most of it out after that particular journey. Any colour was the colour, to be honest with you. No, it was a great trip. And I really do appreciate Colin taking me. And hopefully, one of these days, I'll get to see Molyneux.
Yeah,
actually, with you, would be lovely.
Yeah, I'd love to take you up there for one of the games and meet some of the lads up there. They're fantastic people up in Wolverhampton and very welcoming as well. And I'll take you around the museum and you can have a look around there. And hopefully, it'll be a decent game as well. Probably because I think you went to watch Burnley play, didn't you, on Saturday?
Yeah, Burnley, down to 10 men and the manager sent off.
Well,
and let's just leave it there, because the comments that were coming out about Chelsea's ability is not going to be broadcast on this podcast.
Yeah, it's I mean, the way they're going, I mean, they've brought in a lot of it. The thing is now is that I mentioned about, you know, when I played for Wolves, you could have had probably two or three lads, local lads, that would play for Wolves and would have played for Manchester United and would have played for Chelsea. But nowadays, if a local lad gets in the team, it's a very, very rare occasion, because they just don't now.
Let's just move on, because I happen to know you've just discovered that not only did you play against Chelsea, but you played against Colin Lee, and you've only just discovered this. How long have you known Colin?
Well, I hadn't actually just discovered it. I did know, but I didn't want to tell Colin because I didn't want to upset him. Because we played when Shrewsbury in the old second division, which is now the Championship, played at the Gay Meadow in Shrewsbury. And we beat Chelsea 1-0. I played and Colin played. And I haven't showed it. Actually, I might have sent it over to him. I don't remember. But I'm sure he'll have wiped it off by now.
Yeah. Who else is in the team in Chelsea that day?
Chelsea's team that day was Peter Barotta, Gary Locke, Dennis Rolfe, Colin Viljoen, who actually played for Wolves, Colin Pate, Gary Chivers, Clive Walker, John Bumstead, Colin Lee, Alan Mays, Phil Driver and Mick Fillery. That was their manager at the time, was John Neal. And the crowd that day in Gay Meadow was 5,616.
Not bad.
Well, it was not bad for Chelsea, but I mean, it's a poor attendance, really. But then again, the ground didn't hold that many, to be fair. I think it was probably about 6,000 people capacity.
Well, I'm very glad to say that Gary Chivers was there, as you've heard. He came up and said hello to Colin, and he was looking after Ron Chopper Harris, who is okay. We'll put it that way. He hasn't been too well lately, and as you may have gathered, that he's getting on. But we're all getting on.
Yeah, well, I remember that 1971 FA Cup final for Chelsea against Leeds. It was my first real recollection of football finals. Even to this day, it's probably one of the best and savage cup finals ever seen. If anybody's never seen the footage of it, just go and look at it. And I'm telling you now, if either team had been on that pitch Saturday against either Chelsea or Burnley, they'd have come off because they kicked the shit out of everybody. Great game, though. Great game.
It's always great talking to you. Me and Colin will be back together very soon, talking more about the ancient days of football. Ancient, listen to me.
Well, it's not that bad. I mean, the good thing is when we can get out and about and the weather changes, because it seems like it's the middle of December down here at the moment, and some teams, they're not going to fulfil the fixtures, and they're playing two or three times a week now.
A couple of people have said that. Chelsea's pitch was in absolute perfect condition, but I really do, hats off to the groundsman, trying to keep any pitch going at the moment because of the rain and the water table.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them have got these covers now. I mean, you know, I went up to Molyneux and saw the halogen lights on top of the pitch, and the rain just doesn't get to those pitches nowadays. It's a bit different lower down in the Torquay situation. Their pitch at the moment's terrible. But they just haven't got the money and the facilities to deal with it.
Well, last time I went to Devonport Services Rugby Club to see the match, and they won. And I'm very glad to say they've now been promoted as well. But as a side income, if you thought about growing rice, that would be the place to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
My thanks to Greenwood Accountancy and Wallen Solicitors for sponsoring this incredible look back at the world of football from yesteryear.